It was just a few weeks ago that I stood at the hospital bedside of a very dear Christian woman who is a member of this church. And she was convinced that this was her time. By that I mean, she thought it was her time to meet her Maker, to go be with Jesus, to depart from this world to a better place, to pass away. I think you get the drift. She thought she was going to die. Not die someday, but die that day. That very day. And she was ready and eager to go. In fact, when EMT came to her house that morning, she didn't want to go. She didn't want to go to the hospital. She said, "If my heart stops, please do not restart it." She was convinced that her time had come and she wanted no one to stand in her way. And as I stood there at her bedside, she sounded weary, but showed not the slightest hint of fear. Well, as the doctors and nurses came and went and more tests were done, the results came back, and it began to be increasingly clear that she was going to experience a measure of recovery and would soon return home, that it was not going to be that day. Her family, her daughter who stood beside me, was so relieved. But that woman was disappointed. So what is it that gives some people such courage, hope, and yes, even eager anticipation in the face of death? Not death far away someday when I'm 130, but death if it's coming today. In this series of messages that I've titled "The Now and Later Hope of Christ," I want to deal with some of the questions about life in the hereafter and the end times. What does the Bible actually teach about heaven, about what happens to us after we die, about the second coming of Christ, and all of that? And how does our understanding of the hereafter and what's going to come, how does that inform and guide the way we live our lives in the here and now? So, obviously, we have to begin in this series with the resurrection of Christ. If the resurrection's not true, then it seems to me, the rest of it, that doesn't really matter much. So, today we're going to talk about the resurrection and the risen Christ. Only, we're going to focus on the so what. If you had the bulletin, you probably read the title. Christ is risen! And he's risen indeed. But so, I think some people say, so what? So God did something really spectacular, out of the ordinary, crazy, 2,000 years ago. Nobody else that I know has risen from the dead since in the way Jesus did. So how does that make a difference right now? What's with that? So I'm going to focus on the so what question. But if you're still struggling about, did it really happen? What's the evidence? It's laid out really well by Lee Strobel in his little book. So you come get one, whether you're a first-time guest or not, I don't care. You just come and get one. They're on the steps after the service, and that'd be great. And then you can analyze that evidence for yourself, because we all have to come to that place where we receive it and we believe in that evidence or not. So you see where it leads you. Our passage today, now let me warn you, it is a little bit longish for what I usually like to read it once. It's 20 verses, so it's going to take me a minute. It'll be on the screen behind me, but you really have to try hard to focus and stay with me, because you've got to hear what Paul has to write about the resurrection. And, you know, Paul wrote this probably before any of the four Gospels were written, and so this is very likely one of the first things written in the early church among those first believers about the resurrection and the importance of it. So let's see what Paul writes. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 20. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you were saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, Paul goes on, and we're going to explore that in a little more depth, parts of that chapter in the next few weeks. But today we focus on this part, resurrection. When Paul uses that word resurrection, he meant very specifically that people already dead would be given new bodies, would return to an embodied life similar to the one they had before. He's not talking about ghostly spirits floating around somewhere. When he writes of the resurrection of Jesus, he believed that Jesus physically walked out of the tomb with a body, a glorified body. His resurrection was not a metaphor of undying love or the hope of humanity. It was not a myth with spiritual implications. It was not a legend invented by the church. It was not dependent on one lone witness of questionable character or questionable sanity. Paul clearly asserts without equivocation, with absolute confidence, the historical fact that Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, buried, and was raised from the dead. Paul leaves no doubt as to the heart of the gospel that he preached and the other apostles preached. He calls it what was of first importance. The heart of the gospel, the main thing, is Christ crucified, Christ risen. Believers all over the world are celebrating that today. That's the heart of the gospel. And that heart of the gospel story can never be compromised or pushed to the edges of spiritual life or church life or our own lives. Because it's not the Sermon on the Mount. It's not the birth stories. It's not even the miracles that Jesus performed that really is the heart, the central part of the gospel. Those birth stories are wonderful. The miracles of Jesus are impressive. And many admire the teachings of Jesus, but without the passion of Christ, the cross, and the resurrection of Christ, no one would bow a knee before Him and declare allegiance to Him as Lord and Savior. And no one would worship Him as the Son of God. And I think Paul gives us an answer, actually about four, as to, so what? Christ is risen, so what? And surprisingly enough, what we're going to discover is that Paul's answers focus not on the hereafter, so there's a heaven, that's nice. Most of his answer, we're going to see, is about the here and now result of resurrection. Let's see what they are. Easter, resurrection, so what? So we're forgiven in the here and now. Paul makes it clear that if the resurrection did not happen, then we have no forgiveness of sin. He ties the work of the cross to the resurrection. One validates the other. Everyone will die. Many died on Roman crosses in the first century. But only one came back to life and walked out of a tomb. And in doing so, reconciles us to God, lifting the burden of our sin. If the cross paid the price for our sin, the resurrection affirms, confirms that. Now, it seems to me I'm running into people all the time who struggle to really believe that, who struggle to truly believe that God completely forgives their sin. It seems like all of us have something in our past we're really ashamed of. If you've lived past the age of 12. You've got something in your past where is embarrassing. Something that's bad. A period of time when you lived in sin and open disregard to God. Or where you did something that hurt other people. You got some sin that you think, okay, I think Jesus can forgive most of my sins, but this one, no. This one's too bad. Too many people were hurt. It's too awful. This one, I think I have to keep carrying. So we believe in Christ and yet stubbornly insist on living under the weight of guilt of some past thing. If that's you, I have a suggestion. This past Thursday night, our men's Bible study group watched the Mel Gibson film, The Passion of the Christ. Man, it is intense. You've probably all seen it, and I know there's different interpretations and so forth, but one thing that film does quite well, better than anything I've ever seen, is portray the actual suffering and passion of Christ in a way that is unforgettable, in a way that makes you want to turn your head and look away. But if you're like me, you can't look away. You have to look. So if you think, if you're convinced that you've got a sin in your life that's so miserable, so awful, that even God can't forgive it, then I challenge you. Go watch that movie again. Go rent it. Watch it. Watch what Christ went through. Watch the beating that went on before the cross. Watch the arrest. Watch the degradation. Watch the spit in His face. Watch the whole thing. Watch Him march up that hill with His cross. Watch them nail Him on it. Watch what happens. Listen to Him say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You watch that and then you tell God, that's not enough for you. Then you tell God, yeah, I don't think even that can forgive this sin. I don't think you can. And it's resurrection that validates what He did on the cross to take your sin and mine and completely forgive them. Folks, that's here and now. That's not pie in the sky, by and by. That's right now. That's being set free from things in your life. That's what Easter's about. But Paul's not done. Easter, resurrection, so what? So we are transformed in the here and now. Paul describes himself as the least of the apostles because he was a persecutor of the church. He, at one time in his life, had been an angry, self-righteous, intolerant, violent man filled with hatred. And then he met the risen Christ. And now he writes, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He's been transformed. The effect of grace was being not only forgiven, but being changed, being transformed through the work of Christ on the cross, validated by the resurrection. Paul was not only forgiven of horrible deeds, but he was freed from the deepest kind of hatred. And he was given new life that reflected the grace of God in Christ. And that old hatred is gone. And a new thing that's powerful came into his life. The love of God. This is new life. In the here and now. Not something he was waiting for in the hereafter. All who trust in Christ, who believe in the heart of the gospel and that cross and resurrection, we can say with Paul, by the grace of God, I'm not only forgiven, but I am what I am, and I'm being changed by the power of the Spirit. And a new man lives, not in heaven somewhere, in the here and now. You know, is it done? Are we finished? Are we... No. But it's happening. If you have a faith in this Christ who rose again, then you got to believe he can change even your hard heart. We're talking about God's grace, God's powerful grace at work in and through the most unlikely people. Like you. Like me. Because you see, it's no use saying, well, I've been baptized, so I'm forgiven, and God's happy with me now. And, you know, that's it. I'm just going to stay the same. Keep repeating the same old stupid sins. No. Paul says, you've been baptized. Now God wants to challenge you to respond to His changing grace, to the Spirit at work in you, to die to sin, be done with that, and live a resurrection life. And it's in the here and now. You don't wait for heaven for that. It'll be completed then, but it's happening now. And one other thing. Easter? So what? So we have a mission. We have a mission in the here and now. Paul didn't end this great resurrection chapter, which goes on for 58 verses, all writing about the resurrection. He doesn't end it like you might think. You might think after writing all of this about the resurrection and all that he would end it with something like, so let's all celebrate the great future that God has for us in heaven someday. And see if we cannot be quite so miserable in the meantime. But there's heaven coming, and he doesn't do that. You want to hear how he ends it? Verse 58, therefore, we believe in that. So my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So what you do with your body in the here and now, in the present, it matters. It matters more than you ever dreamed. What you do in the present, working your job 5 or 6 days a week with integrity, caring for your coworkers, it matters. Our preaching, our singing, raising our children, praying, teaching, running hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself, the little acts of kindness that we do in His name, building churches, it matters. You know why it matters? Christ is risen, He is Lord, the kingdom is coming, and this is part of it. And it will last. That's Paul's message. We're a part of building the kingdom of God together. It's our primary response to the resurrection. We live as forgiven, transformed people working to advance the cause of Christ, which is to transform this world one soul at a time. And Paul promises, he says, you engage in that, that work is not in vain. Don't ever believe the lie of the devil that what you do in serving your Lord is a waste. It's not. Oh, yes, and there's one other thing Paul brings out here is true. So what? So we have a certain and sure hope in the hereafter. He says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Two quick things about that. I love the way he describes fallen asleep in the Lord. Death. Well, that's a scary word, isn't it? Falling asleep. Not so scary. We have a little grandbaby in church with us today, well, back in the nursery somewhere, little Peyton. 7 months old. Last time I went by their house a few weeks ago to see Peyton. I don't care about anybody else, just Peyton. And I go in, and Peyton's asleep. And it's like, oh, well, what a waste that is. And so you know what, Sandy and I, you know, my wife and I, we sneak into her bedroom. She's 7 months old, is that right? And we look at her sleeping. The picture of peace, contentment, calmness. I like that picture. The other thing is, he refers to Christ as the risen Christ as the first fruit. Well, if there's first fruit, stands to reason, lots of fruit's going to follow the first. Lots. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that, because next week we're going to pick up on that. And we're going to talk more about heaven and what the Bible does and doesn't teach about that, and what happens when believers die. And what happens to them anyway? And so if you're interested in that, and hopefully that'll also help us inform the way we live our lives today too. But for now, and for the most part with Paul in this chapter, resurrection wasn't about heaven. Not so much. That's secondary, sort of. The primary thing, resurrection means Christ is Lord now. It means the kingdom of God is moving in the world in the here and now. Not someday later. It means we, his followers, we're forgiven now. It means we're being changed right now. And it means we got work to do in his name right now, not later. We must act as his ambassadors. We announce his lordship because people need to be forgiven. They need to be changed. And they need a place in the kingdom of God. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled by the risen Christ. And you get to be a part of that. Not after you die someday. I mean, that's coming. But right now, it's in the here and now. All people everywhere are gladly invited. Come in. Join the party. You know what you get at this party? You get forgiveness. And it's free. And you know what else you get? He works in your life and he begins to change you. This transformation starts to take place. And you have an eternal destiny also. And you're a part of what he's doing now. Make a difference in the world. Get busy. Engage fully in the work of the Lord. In the present. And I have a way for you to do that. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Many parts of the world. All we can do is pray. And we pray. But, you know, there's all kinds of kingdom work to be done right here in our city. Right here where we live. Tons of stuff. Tons of little places of darkness where the light of the gospel has not shone in. People who need help. So in your bulletin, you can pull that out now if you'd like to. And on this announcement page, the bottom half has opportunities associated with what we call Faith in Action Week. It's not church where we sit around. It's church where we serve God together. So if you're going to be here, this is what it's about. Now, each year, for 1 week, we challenge our entire congregation for us all to be involved somewhere serving in the community at least 1 hour for the week. So it's not, you know, we don't want to overwhelm you. And then we provide all of these different opportunities. We have Angel Heart Ministries. That's a children's shelter. And you know where it is? It's about 3 miles from here. It's the Pregnancy Resource Center right in downtown Pflugerville. It's Handicapped Equestrian Learning Program. It's a great program. We're going to string fences for them. Caregivers helps the elderly who are at home and need help. It's Libraries of Love, where we're preparing to take an entire library to Africa to install for people. It's Heather Wild Bingo, and it's about being with and blessing the elderly in our community. It's about the storehouse where people go for food. We want you to pick one of those. Now, next Sunday, we'll have a big sign up, and we'll have tables, and every one of those groups will be represented in our courtyard. For today, you just start to pray about that. Can you imagine the impact if this entire congregation goes out into the community for 1 hour in the week? Now, we got about 500 members now. Can you imagine? What an impact. And when you go and serve at a place like this, you know, most of the time, you end up coming away feeling blessed. And sometimes Christ calls you to go back again and be a part. Now, the resurrection does also mean Christ is alive, and we can experience a personal relationship with Him through faith. You've got to have that heart connection. You've got to have that faith connection with Christ, that He died for your sins, that He rose again, demonstrating His power to forgive and transform your life. You've got to have that for it to be true for you. But it doesn't stop there. He calls us into fellowship with Himself and with one another so that together we carry the banner of the cross, proclaiming Him by our words and our good deeds. You're not sure where you stand with God? Not sure about your faith? You come talk to me. I'll just answer your questions and we'll go together. We'll figure it out. The one thing I want you to know, resurrection, it's about the here and now. It's about God doing something in your life today. It's about a place for you in the kingdom of God through faith in Christ in the here and now. Let's pray. How good it is, Lord, to gather on this Easter Sunday and celebrate the resurrected Christ. And we do celebrate and give thanks for the hope we have in the hereafter, the hope of heaven. And that's important for us. But Lord, today we want to focus, as Paul seemed to, on the joy and the purpose of resurrection in the here and now. That right now, because Christ is risen, we can be forgiven. That right now, you can transform us, change us. And we've got work to do. Good work. Holy work that honors you. So help us to be faithful in that. Help us, Lord God, to show our joy and our faith in the work of our hands and the testimony of our words. In Jesus' name, amen.